Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we take a look at just some of the stories that you'll find in the Lakeville Journal, and even sometimes we cross over to the Millerton News as well. And today we have Patrick Sullivan and Janet Manco. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you both?
We've done it.
Good. Yes, you've done it. And okay. How are you both?
No, you've done it.
We've
we
done
feel
it.
Very
that's
good.
That's a good start, then.
All right. Well, we'll start off, and we'll get to these eventually when we get inside. Lots and lots and lots of color in the Lakeville Journal this week. With all the different parades and celebrations and services honoring those during Memorial Day. So we'll get to those in just a second. But the story that caught my eye is the major expansion that's going on at Camp Isola Bella. And I guess, Patrick, I can start off with you talking about that.
Yeah, Deb came up with that and spent a better part of a day there as a technical matter, it was impressive because she talked to a bunch of people in sign language with an interpreter. So I'm very impressed. You know, I'm thinking about doing that myself. You know, and thinking, you know, that takes some doing right there. you know, a lot of people don't really know about it and have no idea that it's the American School for the Deaf back there, and they may have seen the Bat Tower from the lake, but they don't know about it. So this was an interesting look. There's a part two coming next week, which goes into the history of the place. There's actually two towers there. There's one in the main camp house too, and calling it a camp house is kind of an understatement if you're thinking of bare walls and bunk beds. I don't think it's quite like that. And there are, if they're not up already, they will be shortly, there are a bunch of extra photos up on the website.
All right. It's a great story. And you're right. I don't think of the people living in our area, I'll say 75% have no idea what goes on there. I'll say it's probably that. So this story alone, I think, will bring a more knowledge of what goes on there. Right underneath that is a story, Patrick, and we got the same letter from the superintendent of Region 1, Lisa Carter, and they've Region 1 asked for and got some heightened police presence after what happened with another school shooting.
Yeah, and Lisa Carter was, you know, very grateful and impressed by the response of the state police. I think she mentions it. I think when budget time comes around again, the idea of school resource officers, which is a euphemism for a police officer in a school, I think that's going to come up again, and it might have some more traction than it did the last time around. Because it is expensive to do, and some people are just flat out uncomfortable with the idea of a cop in a school. But this recent events might change some minds there.
It's one of those things that people should definitely. I'm just going to jump in here for one second. They should study up on all sides of the situation because they might make different choices than they would make in their, shall we say, in their. Ivory towers, no pun intended.
Well, Pat,
in a vacuum.
Patrick, the thing about what you're talking about is that. What choice do schools have at this particular point to try to make their teachers, their employees, and the students feel safe? Is it the ultimate answer? No, but what choices do schools have?
Well, also, yeah, no, you're right, and there are also schools who in states that where you are allowed to have firearms. You know, there are schools that that the students feel much safer knowing that they are protected. From someone.
It's just one of those quandaries, and I think that it'll be interesting to see what happens because money is tight all around. Now, I rode by for the first time in a long time the site along the Housatonic River that had the mass tree cutting at Housatonic Meadows. And even I was a little a little shocked with what I saw and the absolute total transformation and change of the way that site looked. There's a story by John Condon, who you are replacing today here, Patrick, on the Department of Environmental Protection, now teaming up with environmental groups.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going out on a limb by saying that the entire matter was very poorly handled by the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. And every time they tried to do something to remedy it, it just seemed to make it worse. But if there's anything good that came out of this, is that the DEEP and these local groups are now talking to each other much more than they were before. Now, we'll see if it pans out or if this is just window dressing. But there is reason to be optimistic going forward.
Well, and especially if they talk and with what they replace with what they've done, with a plan that meets local people's wishes, then something good will have come out of it. But we'll have to see, because there's a lot of distrust between the people and the DEEC. And I hate to say this, but the DEEC has earned that distrust. They really have. Moving on to agricultural education, you've got a story about Lessons for Life in ag education.
What impresses me about places like Isabella Friedman, which is the one I know best, it seems to me that a lot of environmentalism is sort of like a TED talk, very heavy on the theory and not so good on the actual practical aspects of it. But these people have literally dirty hands. they're actually doing it. And so that means that Harry homeowner, who's thinking about making some changes, can get real practical advice from these folks about, you know, how do I go about doing a vegetable plot, and what sort of fertilizers should I use or not use, and how do I deal with pollinators and all this stuff. There's a huge amount of information that these people are willing to just hand out.
All right, moving inside, I love the picture of the bear hugging the tree. There's also, I've seen video locally of a bear actually doing the back scratch on somebody's tree, which is always, if you see it, you feel the relief yourself in your own back when you see it. But anyways, it's a great picture.
That's right. We'll start seeing people do the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you can actually see the comfort in the face when the bear is doing that. Back at Housatonic after COVID-19, and that is something I think that was a great idea when they first started it, and it will be a great idea again this year, is the graduation party that they have at the high school on graduation night to have let the students have fun one last time together and do it in a safe environment.
Yeah, there's nothing not to like about that, and it's a shame they couldn't do it the last couple of years, and I'm glad to see they're bringing it back.
All right, and the Little Guild will be at Lime Rock Park, another weekend at Lime Rock Park, where they're donating the space, and they're going to have their Country Mutt Show coming up on, I think it's Sunday.
Yes. The anti-Westminster.
That's right. I like that. All right. Now, in the on page A3, a nice big story about Chris Cho of the Sharon Farm Market and how they're expanding north with a farm market.
Yeah. Here's another agriculture person who's putting his money where his mouth is. I mean, you can never have enough farm stands as far as I'm concerned. The difference between a real tomato and a corporate tomato is night and day. I don't know what to say, except I will be going there and loading up.
Oh, gosh, there's no doubt about it. It's like comparing cardboard to dividing into a strawberry between store-bought tomatoes and real tomatoes. A story that we have a slight interest in with our eyebrows raised a little bit, and that is Sharon. Alternate theories now coming up for drainage plan here in the parking lot, because if you don't know about it, there's going to be a massive parking lot expansion here where our satellite dish is going to be moved and our propane tank moved, an expansion of that, and also the handicap ramp will be either replaced with a lift or rebuilt. And now they're going to take a look at some plans that were presented to them for a more ecological look at drainage.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts in this thing. It's people get frustrated because it takes forever to do these things that seem on the surface to be very simple, but they're not. And if you take the time to do it right, then you don't have to do it again in 20 years.
Well, that's the whole thing, and there is a drainage problem with what goes on. There's a drainage problem with the current lot. That's one of the main reasons that this expansion is going to take place. So it'll be interesting to see if it slows it down, because there's funds that have to be spent by a certain time that have been allocated towards it. So we'll see what happens there. Speaking about funds, Falls Village did approve the voters their spending plans.
Yeah, that could have gone either way. Was this going to erupt into another knockdown dragout? It didn't. There was a little flurry of activity, but for the most part, it went through smoothly. And they're keeping the mill rate where it is. And it was a difficult process. And North Canaan will round it out this week. I think it was yesterday, actually.
Yeah, and Kent voters improved their budget. They held the mill rate there. But the story out of Kent, which you did, Patrick, is an interesting story, and that is the concerns with the all-board committee, and a very valid point being brought up by a member of the Kent board to the all-boards committee about needing a supermajority, really, to get some things done. They want to change the way it looks, the way you can vote in things, basically because of what happened with the sports plan for the middle school sports.
Yeah, Scott Trabuco's the chair of the Kent board, and he just wants to avoid that situation, which, if you recall, got pretty messy.
All right.
And a lot of hard feelings after that one. So it sounds like they punted it, but they didn't. They've referred it over to the region-wide policy committee, and I had to refresh myself as to what exactly that is. It's exactly what it sounds like. And it was created so that the superintendent didn't have to, every time there was a policy package that came in, she didn't have to have seven different meetings with seven boards. She could meet with one group, which would report back to the boards. So that's the logical place for any review of the policy to go, and that's what they're going to do. So it may sound like it's kind of bureaucratic fiddling around, but it isn't really.
All right. And for people that missed it, lots of great color pictures on all the different, and stories on all the different ceremonies to honor veterans is on your page. But still, this is what makes us local journalism so great. The stunning picture, and you can't say anything more than that, the stunning picture of the riverbank at Housatonic Meadow State Park, to anybody who thought that this tree cutting wasn't significant, this just will open your eyes wide.
You can see the stumps dotting the riverbank there. That picture really does say it all.
The old picture's worth a thousand words, so look at the picture.
Right, and now everybody knows that whatever the objections were from the very beginning, were so valid, and I don't know how deep thought nobody would notice.
Well, that's you could hear the objections and you could think, oh, what's a couple of trees? Well, then you take a look at this and you say, wow, the state really overstepped their bounds on how quick and what they did.
Yeah.
It really is. Once again, I always talk about the importance of local journalism. This is just a small reason. If you didn't have local journalism, you wouldn't know about any of these things.
You just know that Deep did everything it could and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, that's the important part about this. Oh, well, let's go to the editorial page. And there we go. Children or guns, the editorial.
Right. We've written these editorials far too frequently. But, of course, since 10 years ago at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, when the mass shooting took the lives of 20 children and 6 adult administrators and teachers, we've been writing about the need for further action in gun control. Connecticut has acted and pretty effectively, and after the brutal murders in Texas and elsewhere in the country,
Texas, Buffalo, and
California,
now Oklahoma. Yeah. I mean, geez.
It just keeps going. You know, we had sort of a respite from these events during COVID because people weren't gathering as much. But this is America, and as soon as we start gathering once again, this starts happening. So we talk about, you know, our senators are on top of this, and Chris Murphy is a leader in trying to find solutions legislatively. It has to happen. I know that there's discussion now, too, in Region 1 schools as to getting resource officers in the schools. And, you know, we had one at Housatonic Valley Regional High School for a number of years, and that program sort of defaulted out. But now is the time to look at it again, I'm sure, and make sure that parents feel their children are safe as well as the children feeling safe. One of the worst problems America is facing right now and needs to be addressed. So we talk about that in some depth.
You know, I talked about it with Brian Ross today, and locally, there's lots of things you can do locally. I think people nationally, when they look at the Senate and they look at the House, they just want a step in the right direction. They're not looking for the total answer, because there is no immediate total answer. People just want to see that first step in the right direction.
That's right. Even if it's incremental. Oh, yeah. My God, isn't it time to make some steps? Other countries have done it. In 1994, this country did it with automatic weapon bans, and it had an effect. So, if our legislative bodies can't act on this on a federal level, I don't know what good they are.
All right, letters. You've got a letter asking lawmakers to do something, and also a letter about Sharon Hospital issues.
That's right. Michael Motion from Cornwall Bridge is weighing in, saying, is it merely nostalgic to ask lawmakers to do something in the wake of mass attacks? So he always gives us something to think about, profound thoughts, and really read his letter. Maxson, he is a student at Salisbury School, and wrote about Sharon Hospital issues, and so we're glad to have his opinion and an interesting take on it. He's, he spent his high school years here and has observed, and he has actually read the Lakeville Journal during those years. These students at Salisbury School do that, so we thank them and thank them for weighing in with their opinions.
All right, and then you have, of course, your viewpoint columns, Republicans Lose on Their Own, One Generation Helping the Next for Mental Health, and, of course, Michael Duca with his Fractured Fairy Tale.
Right. If we ever needed some comic relief, it's this week, and Michael does that for us in his own inimitable way, so don't miss it. Anyone who remembers Rocky and Bullwinkle will remember Fractured Fairy Tale, so yeah. He has his own take on that.
All right, and we've got about 2.5 minutes left. Compass, once again, gets fuller and fuller as we go on because more and more things are happening.
Isn't that great? So the big thing this week, of course, is Music Mountaining opening its 93rd season on June 5th. So definitely read what their schedule is upcoming and support Music Mountain. We are so fortunate they are here post-COVID and as active as ever. It's such a wonderful venue. We also have BIFF, the Berkshire International Film Festival, coming back, after being all virtual during COVID-19. It is now, an event that you can attend, and we put out there the films and the days you can attend them. And we have a really good review from Caitlin Lyle on the new Doctor Strange movie. Don't miss that. It's her own take on it. She is a fan, but, you know, reviews it honestly, too.
You know, you also have a column, which is terrific. Satire Shows That Bite, by Ed, I guess it's Furman. And I'm looking at this, and I appreciate it so much because two of the movies I have seen and I actually enjoyed, one of them, Inglourious Basterds, and the other one is The Boys. Now, they're shocking if you're not used to these types of films.
That's right. Well, Quentin Tarantino, yeah. You have to know what you're getting into. But yeah. Ed Furman, who is a fantastic writer, we are always glad when we have his look at streaming and movies on these pages. And so he really explains them carefully. Best in Show, I don't know who hasn't seen Best in Show, yeah. But he made me want to look at it again. He points out he doesn't like the Westminster Kennel Club dog show because it's, you know, too fancy. And, you know, his best pal is Black Lab, who never has won that show. So, yeah, he's going to the Great Country Mutt Show. But definitely give this a read. He enlightens us on the interesting parts of these movies. They're great.
Well, I love what he says about The Boys because it says, although I admit to a soft spot for Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman, I'm happy never to have set foot in the Marvel or DC superhuman universes, and so I mostly admire this series, which turns the genre upside down. Boy, does it do that. Mm-hmm. And I happen to be a big fan of Marvel.
I've have a sense of humor. So, yeah, yeah.
I've read Marvel comics since I was a kid, so I'm a big fan.
Too.
But I also appreciated what I saw on The Boys. It's not a show that's for everybody by the means, but it does... It does tell you something about the universe that we live in, which where people in uniforms are always perceived to be good.
Okay. Right. I love how he refers to the cast as his vile crew. So, yeah, right. Maybe they're not such good guys.
Well, these stories and more, of course, in the Lakeville Journal. Also, Militant News, and you can find them online at tricornernews.com. By the way, don't miss the story about the Militant Police Department in the Militant News. I had that interview with Jen Nijak after that meeting, and if anybody has any questions or anything, they should make sure they see that story.
Yeah, absolutely. The new local law has been drafted to abolish Militant Police. Give that a read, and certainly, you know, be in touch with your local officials with any questions, too.
All right, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks so much.
Take care. All right, that is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia Hochschwender and also...
What?
Janet Manco. What?
You just called Patrick Cynthia.
Oh, well, that's because I still go back to the voice of my... Patrick Sullivan and... Janet Mango. The guy on the answering machine says Hochschwender.
Whatever.
He's just stuck in my mind. Well, anyways, tricornernews.com.